Psalm 104. We begin our study in verse 6. I will begin reading in verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. And now verse 6. You covered it, that is, the earth, with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. The deep refers to the great flood of Noah's day. God covered the earth, the entire earth, with a blanket of water. And it was not a localized flood, as some modern theologians say. That would contradict the clear teaching of Scripture. God says that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. It was a worldwide flood that God caused. Verse 7, but at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. And so, God did not forget about Noah and family who were floating around the globe in that ark. At the right time, when God's judgment had run its course, he began to cause the water to recede. He made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters began to evaporate. And the thing that I want you to see is that water obeys God. Water obeys God. No one else. That's what makes Jesus' miracle of calming the stormy sea so significant. No one but God can tell a stormy sea to become calm and have it obey. Water obeys God. That'd come in real handy, wouldn't it? Like if you had a leaky faucet. But man can't even command a leaky faucet to stop dripping. God can command water to stop flooding. And so that's how much more powerful God is than us. And it says in verse 8, they flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. The water continued to decrease until the tops of the mountains began to show. And as the water decreased even more, it looked like the mountains got taller. Verse 9. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. God sets boundaries. He's the only one smart enough to set boundaries between right and wrong. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. Nobody else is that clear on it. He's the only one smart enough and moral enough to set boundaries between right and wrong. And God is the only one strong enough to set and enforce the boundary between the seas and dry land. 10. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. The reason Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes is because God put 10,000 lakes there. God is the one who got the Wisconsin River flowing up north above Eagle River, I think, starts. God decided that it was going to start there and was going to flow down through the Wisconsin River Valley. He started all the rivers and the springs. He made all the lakes for our benefit. I mean, it's great having water if you happen to live by the ocean and the seas, but what happens if you don't live there? Well, he didn't want waters just to be by the oceans. He wanted waters spread throughout his globe. And he had reasons. Look at verse 11. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirsts. It was God's way of taking care of his creation. When you set food on the table for your family to eat, you are caring for them. And the rivers and the lakes are one way God opens up his hands and satisfies the needs of his wildlife. Verse 12. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. God takes care of his birds. All the birds of the world belong to God. The world is like a big, I can't remember the name of that word where people, you know, keep birds, or like at a zoo. But anyway, that's what the whole world is to God. He likes his birds and he's good to them. He likes to make them happy. He likes to hear them sing. And they can't plow. And they can't plant. And they don't have the strength to dig a well. So God takes care of them. He does what they cannot do. He gives them rivers to quench their thirst. And if God cares that much about birds, think about how much he cares about us, human beings who are made in his image and in his likeness. 13. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He waters the mountains. He waters those areas where no people are. Maybe no animals. God waters the mountains even if no one lives there, even if no human eye will ever see it. He waters it because he cares about this earth that he has created. It is his. It's like his garden. He takes care of it. Whether people see it or not, doesn't matter. He still takes care of it because he takes care of what belongs to him. 14. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. It is God who controls the production of crops. Man's job is to farm. But God causes the plants to grow with his blessing. God is in control of that. Which is how he was able to punish Cain by not allowing the land he cultivated to produce anything at all. How could he do that? By being in control of what grows and what does not. A farmer could plant the good seed and have good soil and have plenty of sunshine and rain, but without God's blessing, it's not growing. 15. Let's read 14 along with it. He makes grass to grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. So God gives us food. God gives us oil, cooking oil, oil for medicinal purposes. A lot of uses for oil. And the Bible says in verse 15 that he gives wine that gladdens the heart of man. Now, that's what God said. He gave wine to gladden the heart of man. I'm not going to promote alcohol, but I'm not going to tell you that it's sinful either. It's God who said that he made it to gladden the hearts of man. And many Christians have strong convictions about not drinking any alcohol at all. And if those convictions stem from a desire to please God and to be a good testimony, that's very commendable. But God warns about adding to his word, and it is adding to his word to say that drinking something with alcohol in it is sinful, because it isn't. It's sinful to get drunk, but that's a whole different thing. Look at verse 16. The trees of the Lord are well watered. The cedars of Lebanon that he planted. Notice that. God is the one who originally planted all the trees of the world. Except